Hey everyone, this amazing ESO Network show is brought to you by our fine sponsor, Amazon.com. Please remember to shop Amazon for all your geeky needs, no matter what time of the year it is. All you need to do is go to ESOpodcast.com/ESOAmazon or click on the Amazon banner on the ESO Network webpage to go to our e-store. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. Okay, that's enough of me babbling for now. Now on with your regular scheduled show.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse.
I would say Rogue One has a more worn feel, and I love it for that, because it looks a lot like New Hope, where everything isn't shiny and plastic like the Star Trek films.
We always talk about timelines and the franchises that we love, and now it's kind of like, okay, now we're going to do a Han story, now we're going to do Obi-Wan story.
People do still like to go into movies and watch things that are different, watch things that are not related to superhero franchises.
With him, you might get the Russell Westbrook thing. Kevin Durant leaves and he goes, I'm not going anywhere, this is my team, I'm really up it for the long haul.
If you're into like very strategic style games and the co-op games in general, it's a highly recommended game overall.
It adds a sense of depth and personality that would escalate fighting games to a higher degree.
That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse, every week on the Podcast Radio Network and Apple Podcasts.
And over a dozen of your favorite streaming and podcasting options.
Hello, and welcome again to the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast. I am your host, The Monster, and I'm giving you a review of Netflix's series of Marvel, The Defenders, that we finally got this past Friday. Being that it was only 8 episodes, within 3 days, I was done. I will talk about my thoughts about the series itself, the lead up to the series, some comparisons to maybe what CW has done with their version of their team-ups, and then what's going to happen in the future. Let's start off with this. Having watched Daredevil first season, I can't think of a better way to have launched this dark and gritty moment that I will never ever have again. Because it's so damn good. It is so damn brilliant that it's hard to have it be repeatable, especially into the second season. Even though second season we do get the Punisher, we get Elektra, I was ecstatic about all that, and for the most part, I'm all in. Except towards the ending, in which it really started to suck. And it sucked hard. So, wasn't all that great how it ended. But still, I love the chemistry between all these characters. Even Foggy and Karen were something that made me feel I really like these characters a lot. They don't have to be involved in a whole lot of action sequences. It's really their relationship with each other, I think, is fascinating. And that makes for good drama. Good program watching. Then we move on to Jessica Jones, and we get a different type of superhero, which is not really a superhero. At least she doesn't want to be considered that to be her thing. She's been through hell and back with the Purple Man, or as she knows him as, Kilgrave. She suffered a great deal under his control. This leads to her drinking and her having guilt about having to kill Luke Cage's then, I think, fiance. So it's a really, I'm not going to say much grittier, but it's a different side of superheroism that we've never get to see. Hancock is possibly something that we'll see, like a superhero that's off the game, but for Marvel to do something like this, it was just quite interesting, and I'm glad they did that for Netflix. Now, after that, we move on to Luke Cage, and I think that first half of Luke Cage, everything is on point, spot on with the music, the casting, the drama itself is fantastic. I could not be more happier than that. But unfortunately, Diamondback storyline coming back in the last couple of episodes out of all of a sudden, like, you've built this incredible story arc and then he's gone, but then you bring in Diamondback and I'm just like, it is part of the comics, but God's sakes, it is god awful. So as the series ended, Luke Cage is back in prison, and shortly after some time, this is where the Defenders come, picks it up. But the overtones in which a black man in a hoodie is so evocative and relevant today. So I'm glad that that actually spoke volume to what racial diversity should be about, is bringing up issues and putting them in a way that spotlights what we should all be cognizant of because of our really almost toxic environment that we're living in right now. So after that, we kept the Iron Fist and Danny Rand. And I talked about how much I didn't like Danny Rand. That series, that whole series is ridiculous. It is. It's awful. It really is. It really is awful. And there's nothing about it, except for Colleen Wing, there's nothing that I thought that was enjoyable about that series. It's not as if this is Oliver Queen and he's back after 5 years. This is nothing like that. It's just terrible. At least Oliver Queen has some business sense, whereas Danny doesn't have any. I know he's supposed to be the immortal Iron Fist, but I swear to God, the whole choreography of the fight scenes, everything, god awful. So, you know, I'm leery about one of the four casts being really awful when it comes to putting the Defenders all together, putting all these characters together. So watching the trailer, and I'm like, okay, it looks okay. So finally, when I get to see the damn series, first episode, I'm okay. It's nothing thrilling. Although, the color scheme, if you look at it as visually, each character has a specific color. Matt Murdock is in red. You have Luke Cage in yellow. You have Jessica Jones in blue. And then you have Iron Fist in green. So it's a very conscious choice. And if you look at the opening scenes in which you have the characters in their own color scheme, and at times they're blending together or overlaying over each other, which is what the whole aspect is that these characters are coming together. The second episode, I finally felt Danny Rand came into his own and started to fight. And I'm sorry, spoilers, obviously, started to fight Luke Cage because they had a misunderstanding, but a certain situation that they both encountered. So the two of them are going at it. Of course, Danny can't do anything to Luke Cage because of his bulletproof skin. And then all of a sudden, he breaks out the chi and nails Luke Cage with a right hook. Fantastic! I love that. That was finally the one moment that I'm like, that's an Iron Fist. That's the kind of stuff that I want to see more of. Not that I want to see Luke Cage getting punched by Iron Fist. But my God, it was really fun to have. It was like seeing the Iron Man, Thor, and Captain America when they were doing the Avengers meetup. And they're all fighting each other. That's how it kind of felt like. But on a street level, and it's just the two of them. That's it. And small. But really, the third episode of the series is when everyone comes together and you have that beautiful moment in the hallway where they're all fighting together. Unfortunately, I seen this already in the trailers. Damn it. Still, nonetheless, it's a beautiful moment when they all come together. And the one before that, Danny Rand is going to Midland Circle to confront the CEO and take a different approach to bring down this organization with his business sense. And that didn't go over well. But Luke Cage shows up. And if you know your comics, Luke Cage and Iron Fist basically are like a really good Marvel team up. Not that I've read any of the comics for them together, but they work really well together. And I'm like, I love that. And then we get the hallway scene with Jessica Jones and Matt Murdock. Beautiful moment, all of them coming together. Fourth episode is pretty much, let's sit, let's chill out, talk about what the hell has happened, and get some more information from Stick. But, again, if you look at the restaurant on the outside, the color scheme of the neon lights, you have the green, you have the blue, you have the yellow, and you have the red, all mixed in together. And the interaction is still good. Danny Rand is not as annoying as he had been in his own series, which indicates that his story arc really should be not necessary to have a whole series. Let him be like guest starring on Luke Cage or guest starring on Daredevil. Let him do a cameo here and there. But the whole Kun Lun storyline and what had happened since that last episode in which it's disappeared, okay, I really didn't care at that point. So if you had watched the whole damn series, I'm sorry, but honestly, you can just, I think the first episode of that Iron Fist series, that's all you need to know. Just move on to the Defenders. You don't have to do that kind of torturous stuff to yourself. I did. So that's my advice to you, is that you don't have to. The other thing is that Luke Cage is going to prison. We zoom right out to, well, now he's out of prison. So it didn't seem to be much of a cliffhanger for him as it was, well, now he's back out of jail. So it's been months. The only repercussion that I thought was a little bit more in keeping was because of Matt and him losing Elektra. He doesn't want to be that guy anymore. He does not want to be the devil of Hell's Kitchen anymore. Every once in a while, he gets those moments in which something happens and he almost has to hold himself back, and he realizes that while the police are there or the situation is being handled, he doesn't have to be who he used to be. So he's trying to get away from that life. And that carries over a lot more than any other hero. As for Jessica, she's not moving on from the point that she killed Kilgrave. She's not moving forward, and she doesn't want to involve others, although others seek her out to be involved. Now, when I look at the whole entire series, and of course, I forgot to mention Sigourney Weaver, who is fantastic without doubt, but the problem lies is that I don't know who she is. I know who Madame Gao is because I've seen her already. And the other guy, I forgot the guy's name, I'm sorry, from Iron Fist, who's also part of the Hand. He comes back. But Sigourney Weaver's character, Alexandra, okay, so you got a big name actress. She's trying to be one of the better villains that Marvel has been lacking. But honestly, you really can't expect within, and here's another spoiler, 6 episodes, to really fully develop this character for us to really care about. Unlike Kingpin, who we saw a flashback scene about how he grew up and how things carried over into his adult life, and then there's a big confrontation between Daredevil and Kingpin, brilliant stuff. But Alexandra, you don't get a sense other than she is sort of able to be immortal, but she needs to have a certain chemical thing to kind of extend her life, or they want to go back to Kunlun for some reason. So it's kind of hard to feel that she's really chewing the scene, that's really becoming a dominant force in the Defenders. It was okay. I wasn't exactly blown away by it. By the time we get to the finale, I'm like, alright, they're fighting. Stuff happens. Okay, now we're done. That's it. So, on that note, I'm not exactly like wowed that this all happened, because honestly, when I compare, let's say, to the DC version or the CW, but they did the Heroes vs. Aliens series and they crossed over a lot more characters, but it worked a little bit more because it was a lot more fun. And even though Jessica Jones throws in lines that I'm like, it's funny, I was expecting to have a lot more fun with all of them coming together. And it was a bit little, it's a bit clunky at times to watch them all fight, considering they're not really Captain America level strong, or, you know, Thor strong, or Hulk strong. They're just stronger than the normal person. So, you know, Daredevil, I can understand getting his ass kicked a lot and really being injured. Danny Rand, on the other hand, as the Iron Fist, there's nothing impressive about what he does other than he has the fist. So if that's his go-to thing, he has to light up and like summon his chi to do that fist thing. That's all he can do. And he can punch people, but he can punch the hell out of people. So when we see the climax and he's lighting it up, you would think the one punch would knock out the people or kill them or do something, and it became less impressive. And again, as I mentioned before, in the Iron Fist series, there was this one moment in which he sees this footage of the previous Iron Fist, but he is with two fists and he is fighting Americans, or I forget, it was the Japanese or whoever, but he's fighting off, like shooting, like knocking off the bullets that are being shot at him like a shield. That's great. But in that little clip, that was still more impressive than what Danny Rand is able to do, except for that right hook that he gave to Luke Cage. So, even though it's better than the series, the Defenders action sequences, it was okay. It's but average stuff. I wasn't that wowed over it. And honestly, since I know it takes place underground, the last couple of scenes, it's really hard to see what the hell people are doing. So you're not sure if it's supposed to be Luke Cage, or is it Luke Cage's stunt double? You know, it really sucks, because you really want to see stuff being choreographed. And there is one cool shot in which you kind of almost do like a 360 pan of them all fighting and they're all taking their shots and dishing it out. So it's okay at some level. But honestly, it doesn't like necessarily wow me over. I had a better time watching the Heroes vs. the Aliens because it's never been done before on that level on television. So even though this was a long time making for Marvel and for Netflix to be done, it's okay. It's a better improvement over the Iron Fist series, but you also have to bring in everyone else for all your supporting cast players to be throughout those 8 episodes to have some kind of relationship with each other, and they're interacting with each other. you know, it's okay. Missy Knight finally, I think, is going to get her robotic arm as in the comics. So that was the one moment like, oh, okay, so there is something that happened that kind of moves the story forward. And we'll see. And even though I enjoyed Rosario Dawson playing Claire, I think by the time I saw her in Iron Fist, I'm like, I'm really getting annoyed by her. And I don't know what it is about her necessarily that's really getting on my nerves, but to me, she was getting to be a little sanctimonious at times and too preachy. And she was never like that. I mean, she was someone who was like, I can't believe this is really happening, being brought in and being our common person voice for a situation that she has to deal with. But now that she's been dealing with this for some time, now she's kind of preachy. And I didn't like that. So, aside from that, we are going to get a Jessica Jones Season 2. Spoiler alert, Kilgrave is going to be coming back. So how is that going to be possible? I thought about this. I really thought, well, what if Kilgrave allowed Jessica to think that she did kill him, but she killed someone else? And it still is under that control. I would be fine with that. I don't want to see flashbacks. I don't want to hear Jessica, him screaming at her, but then you don't see her, you don't see him. We'll see what happens with that. I would love for Trish to become Hellcat like she is portrayed in the comics, who was actually part of the original Defenders. So me being a comic fan, I love the original comic book of the Defenders, in which he started off with Hulk, Namor, and Doctor Strange. Of course, none of that is going to be happening on the small screen, so it's fine. But I would love for that character to move on. I love Foggy and Karen. Missy Knight is going to hopefully get the new robotic arm. And we are going to get another Luke Cage season. But honestly, we don't need Iron Fist Season 2. We don't. The only big improvement, again, him being a supporting player. And he got a haircut. That was the other thing, too. I liked him with the shorter hair rather than that massive curly fro that he had before. And it's nitpicky, I know. But again, he is the weakest link out of the whole Defenders. But a better version of Danny Rand that we saw in the series than we saw in all of that whole series of Iron Fist. So hopefully he will become a better character. Maybe he will get two fists, not just one. So we'll see what happens with that. And of course, the news with Disney, we don't know what's going to happen down the road with Marvel and Netflix. Hopefully this will still stay and will still continue till we can get at least another season of the Defenders. I don't know if that's even in the cards, because it just may not be, it may not happen. So this may be the one on only time we get to see this on Netflix. And if Disney does go ahead, they may offer it on their new streaming service, and I would hate for that to happen. So, and besides, Disney doesn't really do dark stuff. You know, when they did Touchstone, which was an offshoot of Disney, they would do more the R movies, but it was still a Disney company. So I would think if Disney is smart, let's keep like the Marvel Knights, like the comics, the dark stuff, keep it on Netflix. That's fine. Because if you put it with the other stuff, with, you know, all their movies, Star Wars, I think that's going to be a little off-putting, considering they're supposed to be more family entertainment oriented. So we'll see about that. there you have it. Enjoyable. It's only 8 episodes. Some great moments. There's some redemption a bit for Danny Rand. But I wish it was a little bit better as far as the villainy or the execution of the climax. But you get what you get. So here's to more Jessica Jones, Daredevil, Luke Cage, and Iron Fist, and hopefully another season of The Defenders in the future for all of us. So that's it. Let me know your thoughts if you've seen it already. You can always email me at monstersci-fi show@gmail.com. You can find me on the various social networks. So again, thank you very much for listening to me and to the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast. It's sci-fi from a certain point of view. Good night.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.